The main message this evening is going to be from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. So as I was looking at this text, a question came to my mind, kind of a rhetorical question. It was forgiving like Jesus, and it was no way. We find Jesus finishing to teach his disciple a lesson, the lesson on how to forgive someone who sinned, who wronged against you, verse 15, and says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. This verse is not for the youth, this is for the rest of the church. No, it's for all of us. May God help us apply it. Amen? We all know the lesson. We all know the verse. Do we apply it? But then Jesus continues. And at the beginning of our lesson or our text, verse 21, enter Peter. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked. I think the disciples were looking at each other. They were rolling their eyes, thinking, not again, not Peter. Because they knew Peter was quick, outspoken. He has his own opinions. He was doing things in his own power. And most of the time he was wrong for a while until Jesus changed him. So Peter is asking a question. And we should be grateful for Peter's character because of that, Peter, because of his actions, because of his words, Jesus was forced to reply and gave him and us some lessons that are very, very valuable. We better pay attention to them. And today the teaching is about forgiveness. So Peter is asking, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. He was talking about a brother, about the person that Jesus was presenting in verse 15. A person who sinned, who wronged against me, but then he asked for forgiveness. So Peter is saying, okay, how many times should I forgive? If he says, I'm sorry. The first lesson for the youth. When you ask God a question, and I hope you do ask it often, please don't provide him the answer as well. Because you see, Peter is asking a question, and then he says, how many times? How about seven? See, when Caitlin comes from school with her homework, they read The Adventures of Robin Hood, and they have lots of questions. And the teacher asks the question, and somewhere towards the end of the page puts the page of the book where they should look for the answer. Please don't be like that with God. When you ask for guidance, when you ask for your partner of life, when you ask for a profession, please don't provide God the answer. Or don't send him to the page of your journal when you have your plans. Be prepared for his answer. Because when you ask God truly, honestly, wanting to know his will and his plan for your life, he will quite often surprise you. You see, Peter gave the answer and he thought he was very generous. He was very good because his answer had a basis. The rabbis were teaching wrongly based on the verses of Amos chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we should forgive and people should forgive those who ask for forgiveness only three times, because God said to the nations, for three times, for four times, and then I will not forget the nation, I will not forgive the nation of, and you can read Amos verse chapter 1 and 2. But Peter is generous. As I said, he takes three, multiplies by two, adds one, so it's perfect number, so he thinks he's okay. And Jesus giving the answer, I think he's teaching Peter and us that there is no sense in counting how many times people are wronging us and asking for forgiveness. The second lesson, I believe, is that we are not to keep track of how many times people ask us for forgiveness, but we need to concentrate on granting forgiveness. Amen? Because Jesus said, I tell you, not 7 times, but 75 times. Forgiveness without limit. And then Jesus continues with a parable. The parable that we all know. The servant who owned his king 10,000 talents. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but he says, I'll pay. And then the king said, you know what? I'll have mercy on you. You are forgiven. Your debt is forgiven. And then the same servant sees his fellow man who owes him 100 denarii. And we know what happens. Give me the money. Now he throws him in the jail. Someone did the math on this. And it turns out that it took about a third of a year to earn 100 denarii. And at the wages that were paid during Jesus' time, and I'm not going to go through all the math, it would have taken 20 years to pay 6,000 denarii, which is one talent. 20 years, there are only 9,999 to pay. So about 200 years to pay the entire debt. In today's money, that would be about $7 billion, the debt. So I think the point that Jesus is trying to teach and the point of the parable is the enormous difference between the two debts. Between the debt that we owed to God. The way we sinned against God and the one that our fellow humans sin against us or wrong us. There is no comparison. There is no comparison, the third lesson, between what we have done to God and what people are doing to us. That is why we need to forgive. You are saying, I am supposed to forgive like Jesus. And you say, no way, I cannot do that. And I say, no way, you cannot, and you are not called to forgive like Jesus. Because there is no comparison between the two debts. The moral of the parable is verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The fourth lesson is that we see that the divine forgiveness and human forgiveness go hand in hand. Or let me say it in another way. A forgiven person must forgive. Matthew chapter 5 verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the Lord's Prayer, which we pray quite often, we say, and forgive our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Our words many times condemn us. May God help us to forgive others, to understand the grace that we were the beneficiaries of. The promise in John 1:9 is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us, will forgive our sins and purify us for all unrighteousness. Not three, not seven, not seven times 70 times 7, as many times as we ask forgiveness. This is what God does. We're not to be more generous than God, but we're not to concentrate on how many times one is asking for forgiveness. Instead, we should concentrate on granting forgiveness so we can receive divine forgiveness. This is the moral of the parable. We were forgiven a debt beyond repaying. We couldn't. The servant here says, let me free, I'll work and I'll pay it. 200 years to work, to pay the debt. It's beyond repaying. We put to death through our iniquities, our sins, we put to death the Son of God. And yet, God forgave us. extended His grace to us, we must forgive others as God forgave us, or we can, if we can hope to find mercy. The application: I believe that the whole discussion that Jesus is having about how to treat a brother who sinned against you, as well as Peter's question, arose from a very practical need that was present among disciples. And that is asking for forgiveness, forgiveness and granting forgiveness. You see, forgiveness, it's a two-way street. Forgiveness is granting and extending grace. If you wronged someone, in deed or in word, you need to be reconciled with that person as well as you want to be reconciled with God. You cannot just confess to God. You must ask for forgiveness from your fellow disciple. There is a quite famous person, a professor who died quite young, and he had what is called the last lecture. You probably are familiar with it. And in that last lecture, he says, proper apologies, and let me paraphrase that, proper for asking for forgiveness has three parts. First says, what I did was wrong, recognizing it and admitting it. I feel badly that I hurt you. But don't stop there. Most of us stop there when we ask for forgiveness. The third part, it says, how do I make this better? We need to do that. On the other hand, we are asked to grant forgiveness. Not counting, but granting forgiveness. We are granted as we were granted divine forgiveness. But you might say, you do not know what that person did to me. Spread false rumors, denigrated my name, betrayed my friendship. So what if he said, I'm sorry, I cannot forgive? I want to ask you, did that person did more damage to you that you and I did to God through our actions and words? No. And yet God forgave us. That's why we must forgive. How to forgive someone? Understand that we're all imperfect. Be reasonable. Not every single word or maybe look that's not the way I think, it's a reason for that person to come and say, I'm sorry. And act quickly. Don't let the bad seed grow in your soul. Work to forgive as soon as you can, rather than letting the anger and spirit and unforgiveness fester in your soul. If you do not forgive, you are crippling your soul and damage not only you, but those around you. You are slowing your spiritual growth and poisoning relationships with others. If you sincerely want to forgive, I believe that, and I'm going to talk first person. If I sincerely want to forgive, and I know I have an unforgiving spirit, I must confess that to God. And then I need to pray that the Holy Spirit will give me the power to forgive and forget. Only the Holy Spirit has that power to take from, because He does what? Takes from what belongs to Jesus and gives us. Only the Holy Spirit can convict us of the necessity of granting forgiveness. Don't forget. This don't forget. What others do to you, forgive and forget. But don't forget, forgiveness, when others say, I'm sorry, does you good. For forgiveness, and I'm going to use a few, cliches. Forgiveness does not excuse bad behaviors. It prevents bad behaviors from destroying your heart. Forgiving others, you need to do it, not because they deserve many times your forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. And forgiving doesn't make you weak. It makes you free. Yes. Forgiving as God forgave us. without limits, without looking at the offense. Yes, expecting and not excusing bad behavior, expecting for people to ask forgiveness because it does our souls good, but it does others good. I want to close with a story. And I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a Spanish story I read about a father and a son who became estranged. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for months and couldn't find him. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a newspaper in Madrid. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon at Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you." Now, this is the relationship between the father, a father and a son, a humanly father and a humanly son. But listen what happens. On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up in front of the newspaper. That many people need forgiveness. May God help us be the ones who know that we receive divine forgiveness and we are ready to grant forgiveness to others. Amen.